This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. Brandon Peoples on In Focus with you this morning. As we're talking education, we have USD 383 Manhattan Ogden Schools for the first half of the program. We'll talk Manhattan Area Technical College later on in the show as well. Joining us here from USD 383, we have Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed in studio. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Brandon.
And he's brought with him board member Jardine Coleman.
Good morning.
Glad to have you both in here. And I might just have you scoot your mic up just a slight little bit there, Jardine. Thank you. And we've got a board meeting here tonight. I guess it's the first one of the new school year. School kicked off about a week ago.
Yeah, we've been going on the fiscal year for a little bit, but this is the first one since we've started school, which is, in some ways, it's kind of crazy. But for the last several years, we've had a board meeting on the first day of school. So
that's right.
In some ways, it's a little better.
It honestly doesn't feel like school has stopped. It's been a busy summer.
It has.
And been a busy summer. I know there's been a lot of projects going on here. Maybe we can lead off with that. I saw on Facebook last night the Amanda Arnold Elementary School bond project is pretty close to complete.
Pretty much complete. We got some lighting that's on order that hasn't got in yet, but that should be established within a month, I believe, finishing up that light project. But they've added 30-plus parking spots, improved the handicap accessibility, improved some drainage issues that we've had there for quite a while, and made that a nice little project that they cleared up this summer. So I'm real happy for the pandas.
It's nice to be able to check something off of our list, our very long list.
Very long list.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's almost been a year since the bond passed here, and I know a lot of folks are excited for some of these projects to get started.
Yeah, they are, and some of the planning, you know, it takes a long time to plan if you're going to do it right, but actually to see dirt move and things is really exciting.
So what's next on the list here? Is it the Woodrow Wilson project next?
Well, we've got the Woodrow Wilson project tonight, and that's not really a bond project, but we purchased an adjacent parking or empty lot that we're going to make a parking lot. So we've got that up for bid or to accept the bid tonight. So they should be able to start on that here in a couple weeks. Hopefully we can get the brick crew done in front of the building before we kick off on that part, because we're going to go into the street and take some parking out before we improve the parking at Woodrow.
Yeah, and I know that's been kind of a nightmare with school starting there. That their front door is kind of shut off from the road there.
Yeah, they are. That really changed our bus location drop-off, and it was one of those things where it was kind of touch and go, clear till the end, and then we got pretty big rain the week before that slowed them down. So we've actually got temporary buses on the backside of the building, which people aren't used to. People are used to parking in that area, and now it's a temporary no parking zone. So it takes a while for everybody to get used to it, but just one person parking in the middle of a bus lane that's usually not a bus lane throws off all the buses. So it's been a challenge, I will say that.
I drove by this morning, and although it's a challenge, it seems like people are figuring it out, and we are looking forward to that not being an issue as soon as it can.
But I will say on the Woodrow Wilson, they did, part of that project is they put a bus cut out along Juliet, and that's going to be so wonderful.
Huge.
And it's going to be wonderful for patrons, safer for the kids, to actually have the buses pulling off of Juliet into a bus area. So it will definitely be worth the wait when it's done. And I appreciate people getting used to it, but we're probably going to change it on you here in a little bit. And that's the hard part.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just that area. There's a lot of schools that are affected by construction right now. I was talking before the program, you know, my daughter goes to Marlette, and we can't cross Kimball on Browning here because of the road construction. And I know they've had to do some shifting of a crosswalk there as well.
Yeah, we put a crosswalk. We kind of asked for volunteers. And Jardine, you want to talk about the group?
The ALMS group, which has been a big supporter of USD 383, put together a sign-up sheet for community volunteers to just assist with that crosswalk, because it's not a position that we have. It's something that we need temporarily. And I was just checking online on how to find it. I believe it's on the ALMS group website, but for sure it's on the Marlette PTO page. If you look at their recent posts, they have the Excel spreadsheet and you can sign up. It looks like we have parents signed up through the end of this week. And so even if you're not a parent, if you're free between the early morning hours, 7:30 to 9, or after school hours, it would be really helpful to just make sure that our kids can get home safely.
Do they need to go to the school, maybe get like a vest or something here? To
Now that I don't know.
We do. We have vests. I know they had them for them, so I don't know if they've been getting them or not. I've checked, and the principals tell me it's going well, that the volunteers are doing what they're supposed to. But we've got that stop sign that has in those visibility vests that we want people wearing, because people aren't used to stopping on Kimball.
No.
Right.
Either. So that was part of the issue. And they also moved us down a little bit, so we've had to be flexible with them working on that project, trying to get that intersection done. I know their goal is to try and get it four-lane open at Browning before the first football game. And so I think if they can get it open before the first football game, then we'll have our open road right after that. So
if it's not open, I'll be staying home for the first football game.
That's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
But I'll be there anyway. I got to go here, Dave.
So. I have a quick question. Maybe you talked about this. I had to step out of the studio for a few minutes. But we have been really talking about the Stop on Red, Kids Ahead theme. Have you talked about that this morning?
Have not. Not specifically.
Did you hear some of the numbers that have come out? They surveyed something like 3/4 of the schools, and there were over 1,000 incidents of people in the state of Kansas passing school buses when the stop signs are extended.
Yeah, we'll turn in probably over a dozen a week.
Really?
We do. We keep track. Our bus drivers will keep track. You know, they do the best they can to document at a safe time. You know, sometimes those things happen mid-route, and they ask for the make and the model of the car, and there's a potential for tickets down the line, even if a policeman didn't witness the event.
Definitely. If you can get the make and model of a vehicle, they can track down that driver.
And the license plate, too, I suppose. The fine is up to $420.
It's a lot.
And they say that after the third offense, it's over $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
and that's
be.
And that's one of the things. The State Department of Education has come up with this theme. And I know that RCPD is, you know, very adamant about obviously enforcing school speed zones. But this is a situation where, you know, you got kids' lives at stake, you know, just like you have in school speed zones.
Yeah, I've seen too many close calls, way too many close calls.
Yeah.
And I've been screamed at for people getting the tickets. I mean, I've had very upset parents come complain to me about tickets, and that's one. I'd look in their face, and I'm like, I have no sympathy for this whatsoever. And we also try to share out some of those things on when you can pass a park school bus and when you can't. Basically, you need to stop both ways, both directions. Even on a four-lane road, unless there's a clear divider in between.
Sure, undivided highway. I think about like Highway 24, for example. There's no bus stops on that road, but if there was, that would be a place where
there are bus stops on that road.
On Highway 24?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Is it at Green Valley?
Close.
Yeah.
You got those houses right along close to Green Valley.
Well, then as a driver, would that be considered a divided highway?
That's a divided highway.
Okay.
Highway 20, because there's a clear median in between.
Okay.
But things like Kimball, you know, if a bus pulled up on Kimball and you had four-way traffic, or Anderson, where there's four, a lot of people think, well, it's four lanes, I'm coming the other direction, I'm okay passing that park school. Nope.
Yeah, so clear median. If there's not a clear median, then you need to stop.
So what you're saying is that, you know, on when the sign is extended, It only applies toward, obviously, those two lanes when there's a median.
No, it applies to all four lanes.
All four
lanes.
Like
on an Anderson, because there's no clear division in between, it is both directions.
Well, I'm referring to Highway 24.
Highway 24. Yeah, if you're coming the opposite direction and there's a clear divider, you can continue on.
Okay.
But traffic in that
has
direction.
Has to be a median in there.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
If in doubt, stop.
Yeah.
If in doubt, stop. But we don't make any... Yeah, we don't make any kids cross four-lane highways with a divider in there, so we're always picking up on curbside.
Very good. I learned something new. I didn't know all that.
Yeah, thanks for that, Dave.
Very good.
Well, it's a lot, and I think the other piece is that I wanted to throw in there, we've got our buses going on different routes because of that construction. We're going through neighborhoods we're not used to going through, neighborhoods that aren't used to us coming through. As well as other traffic being diverted. You know, when Kimball's slow, I know a lot of people have taken off and taken side roads, and there's a lot more traffic even in our places that were easier to walk before. And now there's a lot more traffic going on because they're trying to avoid the Kimball construction or the Juliet construction too. So always be watching. You know, when you're trying to take a shortcut, usually when you're running late and you're zipping through, there's kids walking to school somewhere.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of RCPD officials out.
They've been great.
Yeah, they've been helping out. Let's take a quick time out. We'll dive into the agenda after the break. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.